الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Indeed, all praise and blessings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and salawat and taslim upon our beautiful, blessed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jazakumullah khair al-jaza'. I am again glad to see everybody tuned in. It's been a long time, and alhamdulillah, you know, as they say, you know, distance makes the love much more stronger. So alhamdulillah, I'm glad that we are back and we're continuing with the best of stories, and that is the story and the life of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The last time we ended off speaking about the Nabi alayhi wasallam as a youngster, as a young man, going out, finding his way, standing on his own feet, be able to take his own weight, working at a young age, I mean at 12 years old, the Nabi alayhi wasallam goes out and he starts to work, he becomes a shepherd. And through the life of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there were so many things that happened. But one of the things that I want to mention to all of our viewers is that after the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam became a young man, all that he did was always to better himself. And that's why we know that before the Nubuwwah, before revelation, before the Rabbi alayhi wasallam received that revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of Quran, we know that the Rabbi alayhi wasallam was known to his people as As-Sadiq al-Amin, the most honest, the most trustworthy person. And to be honest with you guys, for me, in the time that we are living today, that is what we need. You know, the Nabi alayhi wasallam started with what? Adab and akhlaq. He started with character and morals. The community knew him according to his character, according to his morals. And that is what's missing today. We need to go back to our roots. We need to show and start off with the Nabi started off with. And that is the adab and the akhlaq that was shown to all of mankind. So the Nabi alayhi wasallam, being a youngster, working, started to trade. He went into trading. We know that we also spoke about the story when Nabi alayhi wasallam went with his uncle Abu Talib and they left in order to trade, make business. And because the Nabi alayhi wasallam was such a man that everybody knew was honest, he was trustworthy, he caught the attention of who? Sayyidah Khadija bint Khuwaylid. Now, who is Sayyidah Khadija bint Khuwaylid? Do we know that she's one of the mothers of the Nabi Muhammad, the mothers of the mu'mineen, the true believers? We know that she's the first wife of the Nabi alayhi wasallam. But have we ever really gone into detail to know who is this woman? This woman that changed the life of the Nabi alayhi wasallam. The woman that will be mentioned up until the day of Qiyamah, subhanallah. This is the status of Khadija bint Khuwaylid. Khadija bint Khuwaylid, she was known as Khadija bint Khuwaylid bint Asad, or Ibn Asad ibn Abd al-Uzza ibn Qusay al-Qurashi wa kanat min Bani Amir. She was known also that she came from the tribe of Amir, and we know that she connects with the Nabi alayhi wasallam in his lineage and her lineage by Ibn Abd al-Uzza. Ibn Abd al-Uzza and Ibn Qusay also is within the lineage of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And at that time we knew that Quraysh, and we still know according to Islam, it is permissible to get married maybe for your second cousin, your cousin, and so on like that. Though maybe in our time today we find there's a lot of diseases, a lot of things, so the medical world will discourage it, but it is permissible. The Nabi alayhi wasallam made it permissible. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu got married to Fatima radiallahu anha, and so forth. So Khadija bint Khuwaylid, she also connects with the Nabi alayhi wasallam through his lineage. But that's his great-grandfather. That is where they meet, so they're very distant. And she came from a tribe from called Bani Amir. And it is mentioned by Ibn al-Athir, أَنَّهَا كَانَتْ إِمْرَأَ تَاجِرَ ذَاتُ شَرَفٍ وَمَالٍ وَأُسْوَةً, that she was known as a woman that had wealth, that had honor, that had dignity. She wasn't just any type of woman, no. She was one of the most powerful and influential women that were living at that time. And all the men, they longed to be with Khadija. Why? Because she had beauty as well. She was considered one of the most beautiful women in the city. And at that time, she used to at least request, had men that were working under her, and they would go out and they would trade for her, they would do business for her, and so forth. بنت خديجة بنت خويلد and hers about the Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. She hears the story about him that he is so honest, that he is trustworthy and all of these things. And it's not a surprise because Rabbi عليه السلام, he was known as the man who's most trusted, most honest. But also say that Aisha رضي الله عنها, when she was asked what was the character and the morals of the Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, she said كان خلقه القرآن, that his خلق, his ethics, his morals was the Quran itself in righteousness, in purity, all of these beautiful things. This was seen in the Nabi عليه السلام before he received the Nubuwa. This is the miracle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him all of this khair and barakah before he received the message. That's why it was asked. One day the Nabi عليه السلام was asked, متى كان بداية أمرك? What was the first, the beginning of your time? And at least when did the message start? And the Nabi عليه السلام said, كنت نبيا وآدم كان. I was a prophet when Nabi Adam alayhi salam was created. So we see that the status of the Nabi alayhi salam was known before everything else, Jamaat al-Muslimin. So Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha, she hears about the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she's curious. So she wants to see if this man is really original, you know, is he everything that people speaks about him, or is he a person that maybe in the secret does things differently. So then she asks a person to approach him, and she gives him a proposition. She says, look here, work for me, trade for me, my business, and I will give you in return. I'll employ you, if I put it that way. That she then employs the Nabi alayhi salam, and he starts to work for her. And it is mentioned that as soon as she employed the Nabi alayhi salam to work for her, out of nowhere her business started to flourish even more. Everything that the Nabi alayhi salam brought, there was barakah in it. Huh? She says that she's never witnessed a business flourish so much since the Nabi alayhi salam came and worked for her. And the beautiful part of this all is that she would always send her one of the boys that used to work with her, that used to work for her, and he used to follow the Nabi alayhi salam, be with the Nabi alayhi salam, not to watch him, but just to be there to assist him when he needed help. And he would then watch every move that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do and he would make. So he sees the character, he sees the morals, he sees the ethics, he sees this beauty of a man that is not just beautiful outside but is beautiful inside. You know, they say Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, he was given half of the beauty of the world. The Nabi alayhi salam was given all the beauty, but not outside alone, but inside as well. That heart was pure, that heart was good, that heart was full of khair and barakah. So he goes out, he trades with the money, he works for Sayyidah Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha, and the boy then starts to observe. And once he sees this man is such a man that has all of these things, these principles within place, he then starts to speak about him. To who? To Khadija. And then Khadija radiallahu anha starts to find this attraction to the Nabi alayhi salam, not because of looks, not because of character, because nowadays sometimes we just look at looks, you know, we just look for what is beautiful on the outside, but we need to look what is in the heart. And this is what Khadija radiallahu anha did. She saw the beauty that was within the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So what did she do next? She then sent her friend, one of her friends, her name was Sumayya. She sent Sumayya, and she then asked and tells Sumayya, go to the Nabi alayhi wasallam. At least he was not yet known as the Nabi at that time, but go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and ask him for his hand in marriage. At Sayyidah Khadija wants to get married to the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he accepts. And we need to know, the Nabi alayhi wasallam, when he got married to Sayyidah Khadija, he was not the first husband. Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha got married twice before the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So she sends her friend to go and ask the Nabi alayhi sallam, and at that time Sayyidah Khadija was 40 years old and the Nabi alayhi sallam was only 25. Imagine, 25, 40 years old. That's why they say age is but a number. You know, it depends on the person, depends on the character and so forth. And as the Nabi alayhi sallam accepts the marriage of, or the proposal of Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha, immediately the life of the Nabi alayhi sallam changes. You know, that is what a woman can do. She can change a man's life. She can give him that strength, she can give him that power, she can give him that support if she's sincere. And one of the lessons that I want to speak about concerning this whole story of how the Nabi alayhi sallam met up with Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha, how he worked for her, how he got married to her. The ulama say that there's some lessons that we can extract from this. They say that the first one, al-kathu wal-mashyu في الحياة. That a person needs to, no matter what state you are, who do you think you are, you have to go out and you have to work for yourself. You have to go out and strive. You cannot just sit and think everything is going to come to you. No, effort must be placed in. You know, one of the great ulama, they said that the effort is required, but the result, make tawakkul upon Allah. Trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as long as you place that effort in. So they say here that the Nabi alayhi salam, from such a young age all the way to 25 and after, the Nabi alayhi salam made sure that he always progressed. He always went forward from taking care of sheep. Now he's busy with business. So this is important, to always improve yourself. Remember, you want to become the best that you can be. And that is what this deen wants. This deen does not want you to be in the same place at the same time every single day. No. The Nabi alayhi salam said, a person that does exactly the same thing every single day, this person is at a loss. Why? Because there's no effort, there's no progress. The person is becoming better than what he was yesterday. So we see the life of the Nabi alayhi salam, progress upon progress. لأنه كان له من الأدوات الإتقانية. Another thing also they say, that if you look at it, the Nabi alayhi salam, he was successful, definitely successful in the business of Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha, because it attracted her attention. And they say, this is one of the lessons that we can extract, that the Nabi alayhi salam, if he wanted to be rich, he could have been rich. Why? Because he had the skills, he had the means, he had the tool, he had the mindset in order to become a very successful businessman. This was granted to the Nabi alayhi salam because he was smart, he was clever, he was sharp. That was the character of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what did the Nabi alayhi salam say? He said, I love to be the poor and I will be raised with the poor. Why that, Jamaat al-Muslimin? Because the Nabi alayhi salam knows that this dunya, this world, is not the world that you build upon. You invest for your akhirah. You build your destination that you're going to stay in. That's why the Nabi alayhi salam said in a hadith, كن في الدنيا كأنك غريب أو عابر سبيل. Be on this dunya as if you're a stranger or a traveler. What does a stranger do? A stranger, if he's in a gathering, he doesn't know anybody, what's he going to do? He's just going to do what he has to do and he's gone. You know, a person that is traveling, you go to a bus stop, you go to a petrol station, you're going to fill up, you're going to get some snacks, you're going to leave, you go on. You don't stay there, you don't build a house there, you don't do all of these things. Why? Because you know this is not my final destination. I am still on my way to my final destination. And that was the Nabi alayhi salam. If he wanted, he could have been rich, he could have been a king, he could have been wealthy, rich. But the Nabi alayhi salam's objective was not this dunya, no. His objective was the akhirah, even before he received the nubuwwah, even before he received the nubuwwah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another lesson that we can extract is, have you taken a job? Do it right. You see, when the Nabi alayhi salam was employed by Sayyidah Khadija, he wasn't looking at anything that he's going to gain from it. No, he was given a job, a task, he did it sincerely, with perfection, and he was rewarded. And that is the most important thing, is when we take on certain things, do it with sincerity. We need to do our things with sincerity, and we also have to show that ikhlas, that taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Because if a person does that, the result will be beautiful. And that's why the Nabi alayhi salam said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيُرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a person that has a taqwa, that consciousness of God, the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in whatever you do, whether you're an engineer, whether you're a mechanic, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a teacher, anything on this dunya, whatever you do, if you are conscious of God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a way. He will open that door for you, a door that you never even expected. You know, sometimes in life it happens, you know, we just feel that we're in this most difficult situation, but when we show that steadfastness and we show that firmness and that patience and perseverance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens that door for us. Why? Because He said He will do it. He says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. And it will grant him sustenance, rizq, from places you would never think. So the lesson is, do it correctly. Do it for the right reasons. Do it because you're trying to not please just creation, no, but you're doing it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Imam Shafi, he stresses about what? An-niyyah. Because the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ ما نوى فمن كانت هجرته لدنيا يصيبها أو امرأة ينكحها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليها. The Nabi alayhi salam says that indeed all actions is built upon intentions. Your actions is definitely built upon intentions. That's why it's so important for us that whatever we do, always refresh and renew your intention. Why am I doing this? What is the reason for me doing this? Why am I getting up every morning to go to work? Why am I taking care of my family? Why am I striving to become a better person? These are the questions that we ask ourselves. But the most important is, what is your intention? For who are you doing it? And that's why Ibn Ata'illah Sagandari, he says, one of the great ulama and awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that don't do things to please creation. Why? Creation, they will disappoint you. Why? Because creation is imperfect. Creation is imperfect. So don't expect perfection from creation. But when can you expect perfection? When you do it for the Creator. Because all perfection alone belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His attributes, with His names, with His actions and everything. So therefore He says, do it for the sake of Allah and you will never ever be disappointed. Why? Because the rahmah and the rizq and the maghfirah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you can receive and the happiness, it is limitless. It's not confined by anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah encompasses in everything. Wa rahmati wasi'at kulla shay. My rahmah is encompassed in everything, and there's no limit to the rahmah and the rizq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's another lesson. To do things sincerely, with ikhlas, with taqwa, when we're taking a job. Because the Nabi alayhi sallam was not interested really at that time in Sayyidah Khadijah. Given a task, I do it, finish, khalas. But I do it correct, I do it right. Not half jobs. You know, people nowadays, because maybe the salary is not too good, or they're not working in a good environment or situation that they would like. Remember, at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places you in certain situation by His decree, by His will. And you cannot change the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اِرْضِ بِمَا قَسَّمَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. Be satisfied for what Allah has placed out for you. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is best for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is good for us. عَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there might be certain things that you dislike, but it's good for you. And there might be certain things that you like and you love, but it is bad for you. But who knows? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, and you do not know. So we place the tawakkul, the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And never did the Nabi alayhi sallam ever complain about any situation that he ever found himself in. Another lesson that we can extract from here, that indeed, just as how the Nabi alayhi sallam honored Sayyidah Khadija, Islam honors women. Nowadays, you know, some people bring this image of how Islam oppresses women, how Islam does not give rights for women. No, on the contrary, Islam came in order to uplift the status of women. Islam came in a time where women were being prosecuted just for the mere fact that they are women, because they are not males. They will not be given certain rights. If a husband, he can treat his wife as ever he wishes. A woman can be evens. What did they used to do at that time in Quraysh? They would evens bury the women. If a man had a child, he had a girl, he would be so fearful. Why? Because they say at that time they used to think that women being disgraced. Islam came to give the rights of a woman. Islam came to lift up the rights and the status of a woman. And that's why we see within the story that a woman can also be granted status. She has a role, an important role to play in society, in your community, in the family. Because at the end of the day, she's the first university to our children. The first door of ilm, the first door of knowledge is the mother. And that's why the Rabbi alayhi sallam says that one of the hukuk of a child is to make sure that the parent, whether it be the husband or the wife, the person at least is educated. The person will be able to guide their children. The person will be able to advise their children. The person will be able to uplift their children. So it's very important. And this is how we see Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha. She was a woman like none like any other woman. She was a woman of strength. She was a woman of power. She had status. She had wealth. She had dignity and she had honor. And that is what Islam wants for women. Women need to be independent. Yes, we do believe that. But another thing also we need to understand is that yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants these things for women, but we need to know that women has been granted certain tasks and responsibilities and men has been granted certain tasks and responsibilities. And when we start to want to do the other responsibility, chaos can break out. Chaos can break out. So therefore, be honored. Show your gratitude. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you a female, Be proud of it. Allah created a male, be proud of it. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَخَلَقَ فَسَوَّى. When He created, He balanced and He created everything perfect. So you are perfect as you are. And with the women in our community, in our families, we honor, we love them and we respect them. I mean, to the extent that the Nabi alayhi salam, in order to show honor to your mother, honor to your mother, the Nabi alayhi salam, one sahabi came to the Nabi alayhi salam, Ya Rasulullah, Who is more rightful for my company? And the Rabbi alayhi salam said, Ummuk, your mother. Qala thumma man. And who comes after that, Ya Rasulullah? He says, Ummuk. Qala thumma man. For the third time, he says, who comes after that, Ya Rasulullah? Ummuk. And then he says, Qala thumma man. Qala abuk. In the fourth time, he says, your father. But it shows the place that Islam has placed the female, the mother, the lady that takes care of the children, the lady that supports the husband. Like they say, behind every successful man, the successful man, there is a strong woman. And that is what Islam wants for our women, to uplift their status. This is one of the lessons that is extracted. Another thing also, that nikah, marriage, is part of the sunnah, not of the Nabi, but of life. In order for us to exist on this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the tool and means in order for our species to survive. And that is nikah, that is zawaj, that is marriage, procreating in the right way. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for instance, in Surah Al-Ikhlas, He says, Qul huwa Allahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not born, neither is He. Does He have a father? Neither. He does not have any generator behind Him. He has no father. Neither does He have a son, according to Surah Al-Ikhlas. Why is that? Because you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is not in need of anything for anything. He does not need a son to be in existence. He does not need a father to be in existence. Who needs this? We. Because we have a beginning, we have an end. He is eternal. No beginning, everlasting, no end. We have a beginning and we have an end. And in order for our species to survive, nikah has been given. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this deen sees to everything, Jamaat al-Muslimin. This deen has given solutions for every problem. It is just up to us to look at this deen and understand it according to the sunnah of the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So nikah, it is part of sunnatul haya. It is a part of the sunnah, the way of life. And therefore, the Nabi alayhi salam said, إذا جاءك من جاءكم إن جاءكم من ترضون دينه وخلقه فزوجوه إن لم تفعلوا تكن فتنة في الأرض وفساد عريض. في رواية أخرى وفساد كبير. The Rabbi عليه الصلاة والسلام says that if a person comes to you that he has good character, he has good morals, his ethics is right, he has deen, he has religion, and he comes and he wants to get married, فزوجوه, then marry him. You know, today we look at what the person has. We look at the wealth he has, the money he has, the properties he has, and all of these different things, and then we measure them according to that. The person can have the world, but it does not mean he has a heart. You can have the world, you can have the wealth, you can have all the money, but what is most important is to make sure that your daughter, your son, they are going to be treated with utmost respect and love and compassion, and that deals with the heart. So the Nabi alayhi salam said, if a person that comes with such a heart, such character, and such morals and such principles, then let them get married. If you do not, the Nabi alayhi salam says, then it will be a huge fitna, huge test and huge tribulation, huge challenge that these people will face, because they are not going according to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, nowadays we make it much more easier to fall into haram. You know, yes, we understand things have to be in place. The person must be able to take care of his family. We know that. You know, for instance, if we should say maybe R1,000 is what need to take care of family. Just for instance, as an example. Now, 1,000, yes, must be in place. But what we sometimes do today, we say, you know what, 1,500. Why? Just in case. Just so that they can be luxury. Just so they can be spoiled to a certain level. Now, that is not the sunnah of the Nabi alayhi salam. If things can be seen to, khalas, let them get married. We make haram much more easier than halal, and sometimes we do that without even thinking. Indirectly we do that without even thinking, not being conscious of our decisions and what we choose for our children. We need to make sure that we make halal easy for them, we empower them with halal, we make things halal, but also, like we said, that they're on a certain level of maturity at the end of the day. Because if you cannot get married, you're not ready for it, the Rabbi alayhi salam says, فَلْيَصُمْ يَا مَعْشَرِ الشَّبَابِ مَنْ اسْتَطَعَ مِنْكُمْ الْبَاءَ فَلْيَتَزَوَّجْ فَإِنَّهُ غَدٌّ لِلْبَصَرِ وَأَحْسَنُ لِلْفَرْجِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَعَلَيْهِ بِالصَّوْمِ. The Rabbi alayhi salam says that, oh youngsters, youth, if you can get married, get married. get married if you can. But if you cannot, then fast. Meaning, try to stay away from things that might attract you towards, might fall into haram. So the deen has given solutions to everything. But the lesson that we take here is that nikah, it is the sunnah of life. It is the sunnah, it is the way of life. And that is what the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam did. Another thing also, يَجُوزُ لِلْمَرْءِ أَنْ تَخْتَارَ زَوْجُهَا, that it is permissible for a woman to choose a husband. If she wants to choose a husband, she has all the freedom to choose a husband. There is no compulsion in the deen of Islam. Nobody can force anybody to do anything. If deen, you cannot force a person. You cannot force a person to become Muslim. You cannot force a person to become a mu'min. Therefore, what do you still think of these things? That is very serious, right? To become Muslim, become mu'min. How can we still force people then to become married? Get them in a marriage? No. A woman has a right to choose who she wants to be married to. That is a haq, that is a right by the sharia that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted for the woman. And look at Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. She chose who she wants to get married to. And her choice, ya Allah, it was the best of choices. She could never have gone wrong because she chose the master of mankind. And that is Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah ta'ala, we will continue. Next time, inshallah, continue speaking about Sayyidah Khadija, continue speaking about the Nabi alayhi salam, because when we start speaking about the Nabi, it's endless, wallahi. And the love and the affection we feel when we think of the Nabi, that only increases. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that our love for the Nabi alayhi salam increases, and that we can learn from these stories, lessons that we implemented in our lives. Jazakumullah khairan al-jaza, wa sallallahumma ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim, wa akhiru da'wana, anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. All right.